Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's Uncle Silk.
It's your boy, 35, the All-American.
And Dan.
Hey, not a bad week to come pod. Got some beautiful news, beautiful weather in the air. How you feeling? Y'all good?
I'm feeling perfect. The sun is still out.
It's hot outside, bro. How's it already hot?
You said perfect, and you said hot. I'm not mad at the weather, though. You think it's hot where you at? It's hot in Gainesville?
Man, it's hot, bro.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We got good weather here.
What's the definition of good weather?
What's
a good question.
Let's see. It is currently, this is great radio.
It is.
8 degrees right now.
That's why it's a podcast, not radio.
Yeah,
we just vibing.
82 up here, so ain't that bad. But earlier it felt like it was 100.
Whew. Did you guys have a good weekend?
I had a beautiful weekend, man. I was in Jacksonville hanging for a little bit at my grandmother's funeral. Good time. Got to see some family. Like, it was a celebration more than a lot of mourning. So we had a good time. Got to catch up with some family. I caught Orlando on the way back down. Let the wife do some shopping. Headed to Chicago this week. So,
woo!
Okay.
I got some recommendations for you.
Yeah, I was about to say, how the weather out there?
It was snowing today.
Well,
I just messed around and told my son on accident. It's supposed to be a surprise to them, but I'm podcasting in here and he just got like the inside of the heat real quick.
Oh, you're gonna have some good weather. It's gonna be cold on Friday, but it'll warm up Saturday and Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hook me up with the spots. You let me know where I need to go, Dan.
You're
traveling, man. You got me.
I have been to Chicago more times than I want to count, and I got some places for you to be, my friend.
How was your weekend?
It was good, man. It was good. I had to work quite a bit. I had just a lot of work to catch up on. I was able to make it out golfing a little bit, and then nice. Last night I went to this like haunted speakeasy. There's like a little pop-up that was in Tampa. It's like for like 2 weeks, and it was at the bottom basement of this like church that like one time like partially burned down, and they gave you drinks and told some stories of some like old ghost stories of like Tampa. It was pretty cool. I mean, it's just a little kitschy niche thing, but it was
like a pop-up event.
Yeah, definitely.
what was it called?
So it was called The Haunting. Pretty cool event. Shout out to Tampa for trying to do some different and unique things. Cultural is in Ybor. It's always a fun time over in Ybor City. Quick little public service announcement. We just lost a mod. His internet's going crazy, so he's going to work on it. So hopefully he'll be able to join us back on the show. But if not, we'll text him and try to get his opinion on a few things. With that being said, let's jump into a topic that Ahmad would not have any opinions on first, and that's recruiting. So before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at the Thomas Firm, which is going to help you handle insurance claims to your property, damage to your home or business. They have well over 20 years of experience dealing with roof damage, leaks from storms, water damage, hail damage, hurricanes, sinkholes, and fires. Work all over the state of Florida, from Western Panhandle all the way down to the Florida Keys. So if you suspect that you have damage to your home, give them a call for a free consultation to ensure that your insurance company pays what you are owed. Give them a call, 813-221-2525, or visit them at tntattorneys.com. Again, 813-221-2525. All right, so let's get into recruiting. Big week in recruiting since last week. Before we do that, the NCAA is recommending at their next meeting that the recruiting dead period is going to end in June, which would allow on-campus visits, would allow some more contact. So not finalized yet, but that would be a big change to recruiting. And so we're hopeful that the NCAA passes that rule. I don't see any reason, unless there's a massive spike, that that won't happen. So that's good news for recruiting.
That's very, very good news. I think a lot of teams like Miami benefited not being teams not being able to take on visits and do all that stuff last cycle. I think it's going to be a little bit of change. They have a slow start right now. I know they've been a little bit more diligent in what they're doing, but you're going to see some program that benefited from that last year not benefit from it this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, Florida has a lot going on campus. They're building the new football facility and obviously wanting to and being able to show that. Plus, building relationships in person. You know, Florida has a couple new staff members on their team, a couple new player personnel folks. So building relationships with people in person, I've always thought is going to be the best way that Florida wins. Obviously, Florida doesn't have the best, you know, overall recruiting, you know, staff, and that's fine. But, you know, they're
– I have a take.
Yeah, what's your take?
I think everybody that he's hired, I like all Dan rehires. I think the first hires were all about continuity, but I like all his rehires tend to be guys that can recruit a little better.
Yeah, I think so. And we'll get into it a little bit later. Garrick McGee came in and spoke to the press corps a couple days ago, and we'll go over some of his quotes later. But I know he was very, very impressive. Obviously, has a big track record. You know, we kind of – now, we didn't dog the hire, but we just thought that it was quick. I talked to some folks on the staff that said, hey, they thought Brian Johnson might leave for either a head coaching job or another opportunity just to further his career. But, you know, Garrick McGee was the guy that they had in waiting. So I think that he's doing well. I think that he's being able to build some relationships. The Crime Dog obviously has a reputation for recruiting. And then Jules Montaner, you know, still, you know, work in progress for that. But certainly, you know, we could see – you know, where that ends up, but, you know, could be good news.
Yeah. I like what McGee sounded like on the trail. He's making a lot of noise. For everything we thought we were losing with Brian Johnson, he picked up the slack at that point. So McGriff hire, I think he's a good recruiter. I want to see what Jules do on the trail. That's the question mark right now, but I think all the hires, even when you look at Turner after Sal left, Turner recruited better than Sal. Once Turner got on, so I think everybody that he brought on has been better recruited. So we just need some more people to just kind of maybe get more jobs or promotion somewhere else.
I love it. And we'll touch on that recruiting just off the field real quick. Kevin Bolden, who is Southern Miss's former wide receiver coach, has been hired by the University of Florida to be one of the new assistant directors of player personnel. There was two openings. There's another hire that is imminent. There are some rumors out there. Try to get some confirmation on any of those names that are swirling around in the rumor mill. Have not gotten any of those yet, but there is still one more position that Florida is looking to add. But Kevin Bolden, Mississippi guy, a lot of connections to the state of Mississippi, a lot of connections to the junior colleges. Obviously, you know, familiar with Dan Mullen from his time at Mississippi State. So we'll be interesting to see him, but welcome Kevin Bolden to the staff. Other news before we get into the commitments, DeJuan Black, Florida's linebacker, safety, a star signee from this previous class and then two classes ago, has said on Twitter that he is done with all of his classes and will be enrolling here soon. So shout out to him for working hard and making it to campus. All right, so let's break down right after the show on Monday, I believe, quarterback Nick Evers out of Texas, three-star quarterback who we talked about in depth, announced his commitment to the University of Florida. And,
yes, sir.
And this weekend just won QB of the Week at the Dallas Under Armour camp. So yes, Nick Evers joins the recruiting class as the mainstay at quarterback. What are your thoughts on him? Are you excited about the addition?
Absolutely. I'm excited about the addition. I never questioned Dan Mullen's eye for a quarterback. Anybody he chooses, I know is going to be a quarterback that can potentially at least move the ball. Like I'll never expect a bad take from Dan Mullen at quarterback. So I like Evers. I think the upside's there. Big arm, athletic abilities there. If he's focusing just on football, I think you're going to see his stock rise like you're seeing at these camps now that he's focusing just on football. But he can make all the throws, dog. 6'3", big kid, physical. We don't need him to play right away. He's going to be a program guy that can go through the program, get with Savage, get bigger, and do what he got to do. And when it's time for his number to get called, I think Dan's going to have him develop where he need to be developed. I think he's going to rise up, too. I think he's going to be a 4-star before it's all said and done. Yeah, absolutely. If not in the next, like, couple months before fall camp, he may be a 4-star.
So you know how in the rankings, if you get like an offer from Alabama, all of a sudden you shoot up from like being ranked like 1,000 all the way up to like 100. I feel like if you're a quarterback and Dan Mullen offers you and you commit, you got to be able that should be an automatic rise. You know what I mean? I feel like he's earned that reputation.
Yeah, in logic, but in like in selling like recruiting articles and everything else, I don't think that makes a lot of sense. You know, like
that's a good point.
In the recruiting world, they give Georgia because I mean it pays and it looks good when Georgia's hot. So when they think Kirby only wants the best of the best. And they know sometimes Dan a seller for some guys. Yeah. So I think the reputation hurts Dan in that matter because I think he'll settle for some guys every now and then. And the evaluators know that. So they probably discredit him a little bit for that. But if he wants you, you're good enough to play at a Power 5 or in Gainesville if he wants you.
Yeah, I only meant at quarterback. But yeah, no, I got you.
Yeah, he'll settle there too, Dan.
Well – We might get.
It may be a good settle. I'm not saying like you know what I'm saying. Like you went from a 5-star to Nick Evers. Think good eye for a quarterback. I want to give credit to Garrett too. Like
yeah,
that was a fine hit. The quarterback board changed when he got here. It's a big shift, and I like the way this kid and the upside of this kid over Ja'Kari Brown. I don't know who wants Ja'Kari Brown over this kid, but I like this kid's upside way better. He's a guy that can throw the ball. We're going to talk about the way our spring is going right now, but yeah, we need guys that can pitch the ball around and not be complete projects when they get on campus.
Yeah, he definitely had some great film from the Under Armour. And obviously, when you're watching a highlight tape, you're only getting the best of the best. But when you have reporters out there like they were in Dallas, the kid looks like he can fling the ball. So, like you said, add some weight, you know, a couple years behind, you know, Anthony Richardson, Emory Jones, you know, Carlos Del Rio, and the rest of the gang. You know, pardon me. I think that he's definitely going to be a good prospect to work with. He has the tools
and
the
seems like kids want to. It seems like kids want to play with him. Like I like the buzz around him. Like he's going to these 707 events. He's recruiting himself. It sounds like kids, big time recruits. He got a teammate on his 707 team. There's a little buzz about right now. But kid, you want to get kids that kids want to play with, and he's one of those guys.
You always need some of those guys. I mean, them the guys that's going to get you the extra talent that you can't really get, or you know, these guys be, you know, they texting or whatnot and hanging out together. You know, the coach can't be there, man. You know, them boys can tell each other something that the coach can't. I know I can tell my homeboy something that I can't go just tell Mullen, or you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you know, they got the extra insight.
They can recruit from like how's that player recruiting go? Like when a player recruiting you, he can tell you the stuff that the coach can't tell you. Tell you about the bras, right?
Yeah. No, they can't tell you about the shoes, man. But, you know, but I can say that you know Tebow, Spikes, and Percy, they kind of like recruited each other. So
right.
Yeah, so I think Percy, you know, wanted to play with Tebow and Spikes and those guys. So that can definitely be a plus side, man, if it's done right.
Yeah, absolutely. So not long after he committed, on last Thursday, Florida received a commitment from offensive tackle Tony Livingston out of Carrollwood Day here in Tampa. 6'6", 260 pounds, four-star on the 247 composite, ranked 156th overall and the number 19 offensive tackle in the country. Huge upside, obviously has, you know, a bit of weight that he's going to be able to add, but definitely a smaller guy. He's going to be a good one, I think.
Yes, sir. More upside. I don't know if you got to check him out tomorrow, but basketball player, so you know the footwork going to be elite. He's going to be able to do what he got to do
for sure
at offensive tackle. But I guess we'll get to see him some more of this. Like these are guys with basketball players, a high upside. They got big potential, and they're just now turning to football full-time. So we'll get to see Livingston full-time this fall and see how he's developing and how his development is going. But 4-star just off of potential. So even the evaluator, you see the potential there. A guy that's in state in Florida, the offensive tackles that we need to land to keep in state, bro. I don't care how we get him. Some people complain about his lack of weight. Like they, some people are gonna complain about Ethan's overweight. They're gonna complain about the kids that are underweight. Like you can't win. Like all these guys gotta be developed.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's when you ask him, okay, what's the perfect weight? Like so don't
come on.
Well, not only that.
No background with researching players and stuff, but they're gonna tell you, they're gonna give you some bogus number that they feel like that. Like that's their that's what they feel like they should be. Like,
well, and mind you, this kid's like a really good basketball player too. He's going to be a preferred walk-on in the Gators basketball program. I'm not sure if he's going to play. I know that that's what he's looking to do. You know, but where a lot of football players or a lot of, you know, athletes might go play basketball after football season's done, you know, just to kind of stay in shape, but they may not play very much. You know, he's losing a ton of weight to go play basketball. Right. So, you know, he, you know, sits in that weight room with Savage, gets on a meal plan, isn't playing basketball every day. Yeah, obviously your body has to be very different to play basketball than it is to play off the tackle. I mean, the kid is going to be a good one, I think. And you know, Florida desperately needs
game. As a guy that's really into big like shrimp training and all that type of shit, like you rather be have to gain than lose.
Yeah, bro. Any day.
Yeah.
Any day.
Yeah, I think sure. Nick Savage even said the same. When I asked him if he would rather turn a fat guy skinny or a skinny guy fat.
Yeah. Also, too, bro, I've heard some of these coaches, it's more common now that they also want guys that play multiple sports. I know a lot of these guys want to play football and then go play 707 in the offseason. Man, you go play these different types of sports, they activate different types of muscles.
Muscles,
too, bro.
Correct.
So, you activate different muscles all the whole year instead of activating the same ones. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, you know, if guys are listening who's trying to make that transition, or if parents are listening or got kids that's trying to think about playing one or two sports, man, let them play both.
Let me tell you what, man. I took my son out to play soccer last year, and I started seeing, like, even in, like, the evaluation. I don't know nothing about soccer. I never played soccer. There wasn't no soccer leagues in Belgrade, baby. It was just football bus. We didn't have no basketball leagues. Football, baseball, that's it. But I'm watching my son play soccer and I'm watching these drills. I was just like, yo, I got to keep him in this. It's from a footwork perspective.
Footwork.
Yeah. Yeah, and seeing like the agility of some of the stuff that they got to do. I was like, bro, he just needs to be in this.
You're doing that with a soccer ball. Just imagine with a soccer ball and you got to get around these cones. Like, you're going to get better, you know, so.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure. Dan, you go play soccer, Dan. That's what we're trying to say.
Yeah, you get through them ladders a little better if you got that soccer in you, Dan.
I still cannot believe Riedel came on the show and lied on my name.
No,
man ain't lied.
Deanna don't strike me as – I mean, Riedel don't strike me as a liar.
Nah, bro. And guess what? He's an honest guy. No motive for Riedel to lie there.
Nah. You're client.
You know, Ahmad, there's no reason for me to lie, you know?
Man, I see a reason for you.
I don't know, Dan. I can probably name a couple reasons for you.
I got you. Oh, man. So Tony Livingston, offensive tackle, excited to bring him on board. And then finally, over the weekend, the Gators grab a commitment from C.J. Hawkins. He is a guy that is absolutely flying off the handle right now in terms of offers. Recently offered
God
Tennessee,
bless.
Alabama. Go ahead.
No, my bad. You're good. I said we got blessed with that one. So shout out to C.J. Hawkins. I love that commitment. Go, you finish, Dan. Go ahead.
No. Shout out to his mom from going to UF about 20 years ago. She's a Gator grad. He grew up a Gator fan. 6'7", 220 pounds. Not ranked right now, but like I said, does hold offers from, you know, obviously Florida, Alabama, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Michigan State, Ole Miss, Tennessee, South Carolina, Texas, UCF. So, all sorts of programs are after him, a guy that, you know, still hasn't got offered by Yale. So, you know, his academics are certainly in order, and Stanford. So just a guy that is going to be
a guy.
Know, he's going to be the guy, I think.
Yeah, he's a guy.
Yeah. He's very raw right now. But that's a guy that I think by this time next year, when, you know, when rankings are done and everything else, I mean, I think that's a mid four star guy, but he's going to be an incredible player, I think, at the University of Florida.
I think his upside is high enough to get him like fringe, like top 75 type guy.
Yeah,
like his upside. If he had committed to Bama, he'd probably get that ranking like off the rip. He's a basketball player, same type of get up with Livingston. Upside guy, a lot of potential. Just starting to take football serious. Didn't play football before. I read his interview with Mark Willow on Inside the Gators.
Yep.
Good interview. He kind of broke down his process of why he went back to football. Mom was a UF fan, and he was kind of waiting on that offer. Nick Saban, he had a committable offer to Bama. And this is a guy who haven't been playing football that long. So you could tell, like, if Bama want him, Georgia want him, they should be a high four-star type of guy. Good win. But you got to take it. You got to win your layups, right?
I'm gonna take
my layups. Brew is cooking with, because I think Brew got another tight end that he's gonna cook with a little bit on some elite. You're gonna have two high four-star commits when it's all said and done. So I think Brew got some going in the tight end room, but you gotta make your layups. And this is us making a layup on this one.
Right. And I think that this is gonna be a guy that everybody is going to be after, right? I mean, if he didn't commit as early, you know, to play 1 year of football and get offered by Alabama and Stanford and some of these other schools, it's not as easy as it sounds, right? So I think that he's gonna be a guy that, you know, is still learning, still getting technique down, still getting route running down and everything else. So he's probably a few years away. I mean, I don't expect him to come on, you know, after 2 years of playing football and make an immediate impact as a freshman, you know, but maybe as a sophomore and a junior, once he really learns the game, he's getting coached by some great coaches there at Berkeley Prep. And then obviously getting coached up by Brewster and the rest of the staff over there that, I mean, this is a potential future NFL player.
Yeah, when you're that athletic, you know he got soft hands. He's a big man in basketball. Mm-hmm. So when you're that athletic, I don't think it takes a whole lot. Like Antonio Gates, we've seen these guys do this. Yep. These tight ends. What's the guy from Miami? The big boy that was at the Saints doing it for a little bit. Jimmy Graham. Like these big forwards that have soft hands already, understand jump balls, positioning themselves. Like, it ain't a hard transition for them. And plus, he played football before. He just him getting back into the game, getting reacquainted to the game a little bit. But I think he's ready to go. The athleticism is there. He should dominate this high school stuff.
Absolutely. Also, like you said, big basketball guy, actually holds offers from USF, Western Michigan, and IUPUI to play basketball too. So an exceptionally athletic kid, smart kid. Definitely excited to have him on board. I think Florida's about to pop off a little bit more over the next couple of weeks.
Let's
here.
Pop off, Dan.
Let's do it, baby.
Let's pop off, Dan.
So,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Dan, you ain't working on that baby yet.
You got to fix the baby. You got to put a little bit more sauce on it. Put a little bit more seasoning.
Baby.
We've been down when it was down, but y'all already know how I get down. When it's up, I'm up. You know what I'm saying?
If it's up, then it's stuck.
It's stuck, Black. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we're getting a little buzz right now. Brew got things popping. Brew getting in his bag every time. We're getting a little smoke on the timeline. So, shout out to Tim Brewster. You know, the word out on the streets is we're going to have a good couple of months here. We'll see what's up.
That's what I've heard. So, me, you, and Connor, we do a facts only show here in the next couple
Let's
of weeks.
Let's go.
We'll break it down a little bit more, but very, very excited about the prospects of what Florida has cooking. And I think that you have a staff that's committed.
I'm getting back in my recruits, though. I know I've been slacking a little bit. I had a lot going on personally, you know, and a lot of business stuff. But this recruiting thing, I'm full time, man. You know, I got to keep my ear to the streets, Dan.
I'm here for you. You keep your ear to the streets. And in 9 months, you know, hopefully all those guys you learned about are in this class, you know.
Oh, no. I just want to know the info. Like, I can't promise y'all they're going to get in the class. I ain't the recruiter.
You just want the info. I got you.
Yeah.
You're like me. You just want to be in the know. That's all.
That's it. I just want to know what's going on.
It's not my job to recruit them. I just want to know who they're recruiting and how they're doing, right?
Don't get mad at me. I'm just going to relay the info.
I love it. Well, let's get on to spring practice, and let's give a shout out to our friends over at Roof Soldier, which is a veteran-owned company that is going to help you with all aspects of residential and commercial roof replacement and repair. Hurricane season is just a couple months away, so make sure that your roof is in good, stable condition before we get into that. Work all over the state of Florida. Give them a call, 1-877-ROOFS-FL, or visit them at roofsoldier.com. Again, tell them Stadium and Gale sent you, and you will get at least a couple $100 off your roof replacement. All right, boys. Silk, I know that you dropped some gems in our chat the other day about the spring scrimmage. So do you want to go over some of those?
Yeah, I'll go over what I have. These are not my gems. These are gems I got from people off a message board. But I think just going over all the chats and the message boards, everything, you kind of see what matches and don't match. A lot of information is the same. But the rumor is the offense is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
This is like our second scrimmage. Emory didn't have a good scrimmage, is the rumor. Say he looked uncomfortable. He did throw a touchdown to Jacob Copeland. It was like a 40-yard connection. Him and Justin short connected on some things. But he's just saying the offense looking a little clunky. Richardson came in, and he showed some sparks. But overall, the offense is just looking clunky. What do you make of it? I don't make a whole lot of spring. I know with spring, my take is Dan Mullen's going to throw a lot at Emory Jones. They're going to load the box. They're going to give him everything he's going to have to see in the fall to kind of like let him know what it's going to be like, because teams are going to make him throw the ball. So they got to make that situation for that like him right. Like right now, they got to make that situation the same. Like crowd the box in practice and scrimmages. Make him have to throw the ball. I don't know how much is live, because he's a guy that can scramble and a guy that has to run the ball for this offense to get going. I don't know if they're letting him just run and get tackled. So it's a lot of offense that I don't think we're going to be able to see, but they got to throw a lot at him. I expect the offense to struggle up until like fall camp.
No, this is the time that you struggle right here. You don't struggle in fall camp. The things that you got to get clean, you struggle in fall camp, but you're getting better. That's when you're supposed to take it off the ground running right then. Right. So this is supposed to be the down and dirty when you see everything, when you're learning, like you said, they're throwing everything at him, everything possible right now. And you still learning some of your offensive plays. You think they don't put in new offensive plays? So we ran the same offensive plays for 4 years? No, they put in new offense too. So you got to learn those as well. So this is the time where it's supposed to be sloppy, where guys make mistakes and whatnot. Because when fall get here, it's time to go.
Amar, real quick, because I remember like I was on the message boards heavy, especially during y'all era. That's when I was really learning this whole troll game and figuring out recruiting. So you know, I put in my work. But there's a lot of rumors about how bad Tebow practiced. Was that rumor true?
I mean, his bad is another person's good. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't it wasn't terrible, but we used to just do everything, bro. And you got to understand their timing and everything has to be on point. Ours don't on defense. So when we blitz and all that, we don't have to have timing. I mean, kind of, but they're the ones that's going to be more affected by stuff that's new or something that they haven't seen before. If we see something we ain't seen before, we're going to cover two. We're going to play to the next down. Right. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, they get a blitz that they never seen before. That can be that's disaster waiting to happen. So I don't think he practiced bad, but that's when we used to throw the book at him. And then you got to imagine, we won a national championship with one of the greatest defenses ever, and then they came back again. Right. So so now we got so much experience. When we came back again, that was like third year in the same defense. Right. So again, offense making new plays and trying to learn new things and whatnot. We moving too on the go. So
because it is. I like that perspective. It is a new offense. It's not gonna be the same offense. Right. They're doing a completely the offensive line's getting a new install. The running backs are getting a new install. Everybody's pretty much getting a new offensive install right now. So they're doing a completely overhaul of the offense.
Yeah, and your three biggest offensive weapons, well, four, including Kyle Trask, are gone, right? I mean, Kyle Pitts, Grimes, and Tony are all gone. So you're bringing in new folks. You're bringing in new people. It's going to be slow. It's going to be different. And also, he may have had an off day. They also may have been working on things. I mean, it's so tough to have an outside perspective, you know, and I don't know who the source was or anything else. It's sometimes so hard to know if players having a good day or bad day, just because, you know, they maybe missed some passes, right? Because maybe the person wasn't where they were supposed to be, or maybe the blocking didn't work, or maybe they were trying to do something else and timing and everything else. So I always take these reports with a grain of salt, just because you sometimes just don't know. I'm not saying that Emory Jones didn't have or did have a great practice, but I always take these, you know, you always have to just kind of think of what are you trying to do in a scrimmage and what are you trying to do in a practice?
Right, I like the notes, because then we could take it to the next level. Like the writers do their job with just putting out rumors that they're hearing, and then we could kind of expound it and give our opinions on, like, a little perspective on the content that they provided already. Right, so it's like, all right, we had a spring practice. Emory didn't perform well. Okay, let's lay it all out on the table. We're installing a new offense. I think he's going to be playing a veteran defense up front, at least in the front seven, some very elite guys. Yep. So I think our offensive line is going to be fairly green. from my perspective. And I would love to see, and we're going to talk about offensive line a little later. I would love to see the Lance maybe move out the way and we get a little younger, a little bit more younger, to be honest with you. But you're looking at two defensive tackle transfers that came in. So you got veteran leadership up there, and you got guys like Gravon Dexter and Watson that are just freaks that can move guys. So I expect with a new install, offensive line that was already maybe shabby last year, a quarterback that's coming in learning his chops, I expect the offense to be behind the defense at this point. I expect Emery to struggle. Fall camp come around, I don't expect to see a clunky offense or Dan Mullen not be able to utilize and build a playbook around what Emery can do.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I 100% agree. Any thoughts on Anthony Richardson or any comments on him, on how he
played? I heard he's looking good for where he's at in his process. He's starting to see more reps with the first team. So that's also, I mean, that may be something to look out there. You know, we maybe keep an eye on that. But he's starting to get some rep with the first team. He did sprain his hamstring or something in the scrimmage, and it kind of slowed him in the scrimmage. But there was some smoke there with him looking – okay and decent with the first team.
Okay. Good deal. All right, what's next?
Running back room. That's what everybody's really locked in on as far as competition-wise. Linger is making a lot of noise. Linger has entered that rotation of the top three. Naquan Wright is still the leader in that room, doing a lot of good things. Malik Davis. I mean, those are the top three guys right now. I'm not sure what's going on with Damian Pierce. Where he's at, but I'm hearing those three guys are making a lot of plays in the run game. Opinions?
That's surprising about Damian Pierce.
I'm not saying he's playing bad.
Figured he'd be in the top three.
Yeah, from what we're saying, he's supposed to be one of the top three.
Linger's hitting long stuff. I'm hearing Linger's got a lot of bounce in his step right now. Bowman is on the injury train. I'm not sure exactly what his injury is, but it's a leg injury, and he's missing practice right now. But the top three backs right now and that are making plays, from what I was told, it's not the message board. It's from people I speak to. Linger is making a lot of noise. Naquan Wright is the leader in the room. And then Malik is looking good in this read action shit.
I love Naquan Wright. I think that Naquan Wright is Florida's best running back option next year. I think that Bowman, is probably going to be better in his career. But I think that Naquan Wright has absolutely earned, the right to be the number one running back on this roster. It's great to hear that about Lingard. There was talks of him trying to figure out if he was going to go to a different position or what he was going to do. He's a five-star guy coming out of high school, dealt with some injuries, dealt with, some crowded backfield. And, to be able to earn a running back spot on this roster next year is absolutely deserved to whoever gets it. So I am 100% confident in Florida's running backs next year. And those carries are going to be, sprightly limited to a select few to not over rotate. So I'm excited to see who's out there. I think they all bring something different to the table.
Yeah, I'm with you. What do you think about?
Definitely gonna be interesting. I mean, it's
a I know you're not the hugest Malik fan. What do you think?
Listen,
about?
we're gonna be as good as Malik take us, bro. So if he's getting better, that's good for us.
What? You know what I'm saying? That's a crazy take.
Yeah, we're gonna be good as Malik take us this year.
Man. We'll be good as Emery take us. To be honest, because the real take.
That's a hell of an opinion right there. That is one. That's why we do this podcast.
Is it?
Florida's gonna be as good as Malik.
We have like a 4-man running back rotation. We're not relying on Malik.
Is it? Well, hell. Every time I see a video, every time I see a highlight, that's who I see, bro. And to this day, Dan still want him on the field. So Dan can sit up and act like I sound retarded. But Dan bounce for him every single year. Every year you bounce for him. So you can make it like I sound like I'm silly right now, Dan.
I am rooting for Malik Davis. Used to train at the same gym with our friend Rito.
You're on the ladder with Rito and Malik.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guess who was number one?
Who was on the ladder with you?
You beat him?
No. No, I think that's what we're trying to get at. No, you know what? I think Malik Davis has a lot of potential and a lot of skill.
Yeah, bro.
I think everybody does.
I never said he didn't have skill. I just always, man, I just feel like he'd be, you know, turning the ball over, putting it on the ground when we don't need to.
Right.
But, yep. I mean, if he's getting better, bro, that's good for us. You know, the better, I think, with our backfield.
But that's the thing. I think that's the question, Ahmad. I don't think his playmaking ability is there. Is him dropping the ball and making mistakes.
I think his confidence, bro. He lost his confidence, bro. And that's what I think it is. Because
we seen some sparks last year, though.
Yeah, when he first came on the scene, he was like, hey, you know, he was like almost a breath of fresh air when he got in some time. Because it was a couple games where he broke some runs. And I'm like, if we didn't have them runs, we'd have been in trouble.
So I'd like to ask you about the guys you play with, like when you talk about like situations. So did you see guys around you that lose confidence after injuries like that?
I mean, it's pretty common, dog, because you got to understand what type of dudes who was pumping in here, right? So you mess around and have an injury, that can be your last time ever playing, literally, right? Mm-hmm. Dorian Monroe had an opportunity, a small window. And in the SEC championship game, I think one of the first drives, Tony Joyner got hurt, and Demo came and played. He played pretty well. Now, he didn't play lights out because that's not how Demo plays. Demo's not one of those guys that's just going to turn the game around. But he's a guy that's not going to mess up too often, right? So they had high confidence in him. He was a special teams guy. Man, this man was slated to start. It was no way they was going to put me in the game over Demo. I could just tell you that. If I go out there and practice better than Demo 100 times, they won't put me in front of Demo. Dorian Monroe. So that's just how it was. It took an injury, bro. And when it took an injury,
that's a took buzz. Another one. Yeah, that's, bro. Igloo brother of mine. Shout out Dorian Monroe.
Yeah, man. But man, Dorian got doggone when he got hurt, and then they moved JC over. The other what's your boy name? 24. Anyway, they moved him over. He tore his ACL too. So, you know, you got two.
Jeremy Brown?
Nah.
That's the one who always comes up in my mind. Jeremy Brown was ahead of Janoris. And who else was in that class? Who was that? Who else?
He was the same age as Janoris. Joe Hayden was on campus. It was going to be Joe Hayden and Jeremy Brown.
Will Hill came in that class.
Right, Jeremy Brown was a big recruit out of the Orlando area. I like if you follow recruiting, everybody know what it was. And then if you're reading the message board, you heard how he was killing in camp preseason. He was gonna be that freshman that played right away. And then he got hurt. And then he never really bounced back. So like I always want to know like
that's why.
We gotta get him on the show. I want to have a conversation with Jeremy Brown.
He wants to too, bro. So I'm gonna link with him again.
For sure, we gotta make that happen.
For sure. He's definitely one. He's a story of a guy who just never gave up, like what his mind and vision was, right? So he never, just because he didn't play football much or he was injured, he was always in the training room, always in there taking care of himself and trying to get over the injury and trying to go to school. I think he got like a master's degree and like all kind of stuff, bro.
And he was one of the nicest kids you'll meet too. He's so awesome. He came up. On an unofficial visit to UF, and I was his host. Just a splendid kid.
You got him some buns? Never mind.
No, not on the unofficial visit. He was kind of in and out with his family, you know. But
Nah, man. You must... I don't know, Dan. I'm reading through this a little bit more. So all right, so you say not on the unofficial, so on the official. So you the reason why he came here, Dan? What you saying?
No, I didn't say that.
You did. That's what he's saying also.
But flex, I'm saying that I bet you part of the reason he came was me.
I'll take that, Dan. You got to flex.
Only way you got Jeremy Brown to come here if you provided him the buns. Did you provide him the buns, Dan?
Dan, the bun man?
Dan, the bun man.
we'll break it. We'll get into it one of these days, maybe this off season. I have some great stories of some of the unofficials and official visits that I was hosts for. Because at the end of the day, a lot of it was talking to their parents and stuff like that too. There's some wild, wild stories, wild times. But We don't have time today.
That's the Patreon talk. We got to get into the Patreon behind the scenes. Dan is coordinator setting up the buns.
Listen, I got to tell y'all how I almost jeopardized my senior year, bro, coming on my official visit.
Elaborate.
Nah, man.
We got some time. We can talk about this off the air.
Off the air? No, this is Patreon talk. Yeah, save all that for Patreon. We got to up to Patreon. Let's get it. Let's get the behind the scenes content. We got to talk about this.
That's wild, dog.
All right. Well, we'll do a Patreon show. Remember, patreon.com/stadiumandgale in the next couple of weeks. We'll do some behind the scenes stories. Jeez. There's some. Woo. Anyway, on the offensive line. So let's get into that. Dan Mullen announced today that Richard Garage and Ethan White are going to be the starting left tackle and starting left guard. Are you hearing anything else on the offensive line in terms of who's on the first team or who's playing?
That's how I sound. Like I like that side. Like I'm cool with that side, but I need to know the rest of my line. The center, I've been hearing Stuart Reese has been getting some reps at center. I don't know how I feel about that. I need to know who the other tackle and guard is, and then I can feel a little better. Because if it's Gene,
you already know.
I don't know. I need Dan to tell me. I think it's a subtle call out by Dan Mullen a little bit by him just mentioning his left side of his line. So I think that's it's a subtle said, yeah. call out. Like this is his way of saying maybe this is all I could depend on right now. My right side, what Gene DeLance had, is the same as it has always been. Like we may get somebody killed.
Yeah, no, I think that you're exactly right. You know, Dan Mullen's not a guy that usually talks about, you know, players by name in situations like this, but to say he feels very confident on the left side and then not mentioned the other three players next to them,
right,
you know, could open up some competition. Like you said, I still think they're trying to figure out the moving pieces and everything else. Like I said, I'm not 100% sold on Stuart Reese being the center. I've never seen him snap the ball in my life. Not saying that he's not capable, but the only thing that I do like is how long he's been in John Hevesy's offensive line system and his ability to potentially make some calls and do things of that nature. So I think that he might be a value add there. I just don't know who takes that other guard spot unless it's Josh Braun. And then maybe you put in, Gene DeLance, but Florida hasn't recruited the tackle position. Well, they have bodies, but you know, a lot of them were developmental guys.
Right. Real quick. I like to do this. So, speaking of centers and snapping the ball, what was it like when Pouncey was in bowling ball in that ball?
Nah, bro. Pouncey going against Miami of Ohio, dog. This man was hiking the ball over. No.
About ruining my Saturday?
No, listen, bro. All I can remember
is what's going on right now.
We wouldn't have had that problem if we would have had a 6'5", 6'6" quarterback back there, but we ain't talking about that.
So what happened? What was the mood like? Because I know Pouncey's a competitive, like prideful guy.
That's what I'm
like,
saying,
he
bro.
Bowled
so,
the ball.
Nah,
a whole
bro.
Game.
So he was really blowed after that, bro. Like they really after that game, bro. They really practiced that snap, and he really do it too much. I mean, he did it a few times after that, but he didn't really do it too much after that. But at that first game, bro, was the most awful game I ever seen. Literally, bro. It was like we couldn't even get inside, and our whole offense.
Yo, that was wild, bro. Hey, after Tebow leaving. I have been telling all my friends lies about John Brantley about to be like Peyton Manning. Yeah, I had some good lies. Yeah. And then he started bowling the ball. Like, game one, I was like, yo, what kind of season are we about to get into?
Yo, we playing
it hasn't been good ever since. Ever since Pouncey bowling ball, that snap. It hasn't been sweet until Mullen came back.
Yeah.
Well, he turned it into an all right career in the NFL, huh?
Yeah, he did all right, but
he did all right.
What about wee?
Yeah,
wee.
What else are you hearing about the offensive silk on the wide receiver, the tight end position?
My man Weston's starting to make a little noise throughout the Jamarcus Weston, the wide receiver out of Clemson, Florida, a little mug boy out here making some noise. I'm hearing the receivers wild talented. Copeland is the leader in that room, doing what he got to do. Shorter. It's also another dog, but everybody else in that room is struggling to get a little separation. Jamarcus Weston, one of those guys that has been able to get a little separation, so he's starting to see some run with the ones. He also got a touchdown in the Wildcat. Big guy. In my opinion, I think Jamarcus Weston would have been a blue chip recruit had he had the luxury of being able to do the camps, enjoy the whole recruiting process, being able to even craft his skills. But he was a guy that had to take care of his family and had to do a lot of business with the fam. So he wasn't able to do the recruiting process. Mm-hmm. Dan Mullen fell in love with him right away when he got to UF and figure out who he was as a recruit and got to see him move around physically. I think he's going to be a dog. To see him move where he move and move up the depth chart in a loaded room, I'm excited about that position. But the receivers got to get separation a little bit to help Emory out is what I'm hearing from that position.
Yeah, Florida's going to absolutely need these guys to create separation, create opportunity, even maybe more than, you know, when Kyle Trask was quarterback, because I don't think that Emory right now, speaking today, has the ability to throw his receivers open the same way. You know, I'm excited to see what Trent Winnemore might be able to do. You know, Jacob Copeland, this is his year to shine. You know, he was a highly recruited guy, and this is his opportunity. You know, he's been asking for it, been tweeting about it. You know, here's your opportunity. You know, like you said, Jamarcus Weston's making some noise. I've heard Jaquavion Frazier's is out there. Xavier Henderson still, you know, improving, you know, day to day. And, you know, there's Dejon Reynolds, who's a highly ranked 4-star kid, you know, coming out. And then, you know, Justin Shorter's still on campus. You know, he needs to still continue to work on his hands, you know, but there's definitely talent there. I don't think it's as proven talented yet. As you know, the past couple of years, but I definitely think that they have, you know, a lot of speed. They have a lot of size.
And I think that was the case still last year, though. Like, I think last year was one of our most unproven years. Like, in hindsight, everybody's saying, "Oh, Tony had a great year," but there's a lot of unprovenness from Tony. We didn't know a whole lot about Grimes. He wasn't no spark. I mean, everybody knew what Kyle Pitts could do at tight end, but the rest of that wide receiver room was a lot of unknowns. And I think we'll be fine at wide receiver.
Yeah.
I don't foresee any problems. I think these guys will be able to separate. I think they'll be able to do what they got to do to make plays. Offensive line is another story. You know, I think that's been big question mark since these guys have been here. I don't think we've seen a whole lot of, I would say, progress in the run game. Pass game has been pretty decent to good. If not, and sometimes great. I think they pass protection pretty good. You know, I think DeLance is the only real liability last year, but in the pass game, I think it was like in the run game, something different. I think in the pass game, the only guy that was really like shitty was him.
Okay.
Like, who else was this?
51? Like,
shitty. Who was 51?
Reese?
Mm-hmm.
You tripping.
Yeah, Reese is bad. Reese was bad. I think it's worse when you're bad at guard than tackle.
Correct.
In the pass game, it's
interior. Now at tackle, it's more one-on-one.
You're gonna get in the pass game, like it looks a little bit worse when Gene DeLance is getting beaten off the edge than a guard. So yeah, I think both of those guys were really bad. But the pass pro has been better than the run game. I think with the new offense we got going forward, that you can't hide that no more. You can't rely on good pass pro because Emory's not a passer. We was able to lean on Kyle Trask's arm, him being able to do some things in the pass game and get the ball out quick. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be able to do that with Emory. Now we got to run the ball. Now they got to figure out run blocking and everything else. So if not, you're looking for a long season.
You guys both played football. I only played intramural. Obviously, it was very good, but didn't. There's no offensive line, and I know that neither of you played offensive line.
I just went JUCO. You know, I ain't a mod.
Yeah, but so when you guys are going through, you know, practice and everything else, what difference does like a running quarterback make? And maybe we'll get an offensive lineman on here one of these days when we talk a little bit about this. Sure, is it better if you're an offensive lineman and you have a mobile quarterback? Or do you think it's better if you have a more stiff quarterback because you know where their pocket's going to be? I mean, just throwing that mobile, you know, quarterback piece into it, not knowing where they're going to end up, you know, it certainly changes how you have to block and everything else. But I wonder how that could potentially change with, you know, obviously a more active runner back there.
Well, you get when you got a running quarterback, you get more holding calls because, when the quarterback's on the run,
man, the
play extended, and you gotta hold up that block. So guys feel like they sometimes got to hold, man, and you can't block a guy for forever. So
yeah, I want to break that down.
Yeah, I think the mobile quarterback. It depends on the offense, right? Like if you got a mobile quarterback that's dropping back to pass, and then he's getting mobile, You get more holes. But I think in a Dan Mullen offense, when you're doing read reaction shit, RPO shit, it's a little different than a guy dropping back five steps, reading the defense and having to escape the pocket.
Because there's no you don't all fast.
Ahmad sounds like God talking to us.
Right. Yo, what happened? Yo, what did you go to heaven?
I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said that, bro.
Chill down. Yeah. This is God.
That was wild. I was like, what happened? It sounded like Morgan Freeman.
I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
sound like Morgan Freeman as God right now.
Stop, bro. Shut up. I'm trying to
reminds
me of
that Bill Cosby Noah thing.
Yeah, leave all this in.
No, bro. Go back out.
Yeah.
What I was saying is, when you got Mullen's offense, what made Trask very, very good too. Is we got the ball out of our hands really quick. So it's going back to what we were saying earlier, is these guys got to create separation, because I think in the Oklahoma game, we couldn't get no separation. I mean, nothing. Our receivers couldn't get open at all. So if you can't create separation for a quick slant or something like that, man, we gotta do better. But you know, Darren Mullen's offense is designed to get the ball out of the quarterback hands quickly.
What, you know, Ahmad, again, I know you play defense, so I don't know like what the conversations are like, but like what percentage of run plays are called like in the huddle, like compared to at the line versus like happen? Like, I mean, do a lot of plays that look like they're plays that like broke down that end up being runs?
It's all about numbers, man. So,
okay,
it's called the box, like. How many people you got within 7 yards of the line of scrimmage, right?
Right.
We'll go seven. So
I'm all I know guys, about the box.
He know all about the box. He's a box expert.
You're the box expert. All right.
Box and buns.
There you go.
He set up the box and the buns. That was his job.
Box and bun Dan.
He's the bun guy. Bun guy Dan.
They ain't gonna have you around here with the seated buns though.
Yeah.
Yo. Jeez, man. Anyway, so the number of players that are out there in the box.
So when a quarterback come out, he look at the safety. So it's gonna always be a two high, one high safety. If you got two high safety, we run the ball. I don't give a damn what, because by the time you even run somebody down, we done got 4 or 5 yards. All right. The goal is to try to keep somebody under 3 yards. Right, and that's on running plays. So we keep the average under 3 yards. But if I see you got too high safety, I'm running the ball. Once that safety starts coming down, then we throw it. When you got guys who notice that and pay attention to that and teams that do that, then you kind of got to disguise it and come down late, right? With that happening is you bringing somebody down late. You already, if that running back pop, you're going to get 4 or 5 yards.
Yo, real quick. I like all the info. You gave me some, you know.
I'm learning.
Yeah, I'm learning. Yeah, I'm always learning the game. You always got to be able to learn. So you have an open mind to learn the game. Go ahead. So you got more knowledge?
Yeah. So just playing against like guys like Tom Brady and like Drew Brees. Like you cannot show what you're in.
Tell me how you pick Tom off.
Nah, I ain't really. I beat Tom one time. I think. About the preseason.
Preseason. I'm talking it up.
I want my flowers, bro.
If you beat Tom in preseason, take that out. Beep that.
Show's going off the rails.
Yeah, beep that. But if he picked off Tom Brady, of course.
No, I ain't pick off Tom Brady.
Oh, you didn't?
Nah, we ain't gonna continue that line.
All right, somebody, I got hype.
Nah, because you know, boys can start pulling up videos and all that.
You want a preseason game? Yeah, I'm gonna give you.
So
we
want a preseason game. When they took out Tom Brady, we was already smashing them. So it was a third preseason game where you played just about the whole game. So you know we did it to them, but they beat us in the regular season. But you know, guys like that, once they see that safety creeping, they're gonna change their play so fast, bro. Because it's nothing you can show them guys that they've never seen before.
Right.
Literally, right? So you gotta almost play it at your best.
Real quick, how much do you guys think that Brian Johnson played into the pass happy offense that we had last year? Him coming from Houston, Big 12 Texas football with all the pass happy stuff they got going on. That's not Big 12, but Texas football, they threw the ball around a lot. Do you think his influence was seen on the offense last year? Us going back to Emory with just Dan calling the plays. What do you think? What's your take on that, Dan?
I don't think so. I think that that was just a result of Kyle Trask not being a mobile quarterback and not having a ton of options.
Do you think Dan called all those pass plays like that? He has done that ever.
I mean, we couldn't run the ball.
But this is the first time that he's been that limited. I mean, I don't know all of his Mississippi State quarterbacks.
Right, right.
But, like, from what I remember, he's always had somebody that is more mobile. I mean, hell, he turned, like, a safety or cornerback into a quarterback 1 year, right?
But, also, he made that change because who was the all-C before? Like, nothing changed, right?
But this is – Hold on. If you go all the way back to when So if you go all the way back to Dan Mullen's time at Utah when he was coaching Brian Johnson and Alex Smith,
right?
You know, he was a pass heavy guy. He came in. True. Chris Leak, yes, was somewhat mobile, and they had the Tim Tebow option there, but you know he was dialing up passes there too. And while Tim was a great runner, he would also dial up passes with him too. So yeah, I absolutely think that he could do it. I'm not saying that Brian Johnson didn't have an influence on that from his time at Houston and everything else,
but something happened then, right? So like Dan Mullen had his OCs. It was like Heavisay at one point. Mm-hmm. It was Billy G at one point, but at some point he changed it when he realized Kyle Trask was going to be the head coach. I mean, not head coach, but the starting quarterback, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he – I mean, he obviously changed his offense because he had to, but, I mean, I think that those are always –
No, not the offense. He changed the titles.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you don't know what goes behind the scenes.
Yeah, I know. I'm painting the picture for you, Dan.
Yeah. I got you.
I think Billy G couldn't help with him calling plays in that position. If he's going to ask Brian Johnson to help with play calling and constructing his new offense around Kyle Trask, he had to give him the title.
Yeah, probably.
So I think a lot of what we've seen was a lot of influence from Brian Johnson last year with the pass game. I think Brian Johnson had a lot to do with the play calling.
You know, I'm going to text him right now and ask him what percentage of plays he called.
Yeah, probably. Stand by.
Brian Johnson.
I got that flex too. I didn't even text him to find out. This is all my wild guessing. Like Brian Johnson didn't give me any insider heat. This is just silk going off the whiff of what I think happened.
Very good. Very good.
I said all this to say this. I think Dan Mullen's gonna get in his bag with Emory Jones with the run game.
No, I absolutely think. I mean, Emory Jones, Anthony Richardson, Carlos Del Rio, those are your more prototypical quarterbacks, right, for Dan Mullen. You could not pass up Kyle Trask last season, right? Right. You know, I think you modify, and I think that that's what makes Dan Mullen such a good coach is you modify for the personnel that you have. You know, but I think that this, you know, assuming what we see out of, you know, Emory Jones, you know, from a passing perspective, is going to be a very prototypical Dan Mullen offense. You know, so we'll see. So, what about defense? Anything on defense? Other than I know that they're ahead. I know that they're playing well. I know that, you know, Dan Mullen today says he wants Brenton Cox, you know.
Hopper.
He wants his floor to be higher and his ceiling to, you know.
Yeah, Hopper is I'm hearing Hopper is making a lot of plays. So that's one of the big things I'm hearing. We talked about defensive tackle room. All those guys, the graduate transfers, they're looking good. Gravon Dexter's looking good. Watson is looking really good as a true freshman, fresh on campus. So the defense side of the ball is looking good. I don't know who's going to play opposite of Elam. That was my watch thing for the spring. I still don't know the answer to that. Outside of that, Hopper's looking really good linebacker. That's the big smoke and the big news on defense.
Well, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about, you know, when he committed, I thought that he was a guy that could have a hell of a career at UF, you know, hasn't had a ton of opportunity to play, but he's certainly an athletic guy. I know Derek Wingo's getting some snaps with the ones now too. You know, so hopefully you're starting to see the development of, you know, these highly ranked 4-star and 5-star guys come in and be able to make impactful plays for this defense because they absolutely need athletes back there. To potentially make up for, you know, some deficiencies that they're going to have in the back four.
Right. My Cuzzo's looking good. Trey Dean, I'm hearing he's looking real good in the back end. Pause.
Yeah, I've been hearing the same thing. Right. It seems like they're saying that, you know, it's more fitting for him at safety. So
Oh, yeah, I'm hearing like that Marcus May type move up, to, like draft boards type move. Like he's looking real good as far as like a safety. So shout out to Trey Dean, man.
Yeah, very excited to see what he can do. And I know some of the draft message boards, I was texting with a buddy of mine that covers, and he thinks that Trey Dean is a guy that, you know, with a good season could potentially work his way up into, you know, top three rounds type of draft pick. So, you know, shout out to him. You know, he had a rough season two seasons ago, you know, bounced back last season. I think this season he's going to have a great season, and they're going to need him too. They're absolutely going
to
need him too.
Yeah, he's got to be one of those leaders. I know you're bringing the handcuffs to practice, but they're going to need him to be like one of those leaders in that room and on the defense, period.
Yeah.
Chatfield is a guy that's making some noise too, getting a lot of sacks, getting mm-hmm. active in the pass rush. We know everybody else could do Bogle, Brenton Cox, all those guys are phenomenal athletes, but hearing another guy in that rotation like Chatfield getting busy as well is – I think our pass rush and our defense, everything's going to look a little better for Grantham this year.
Yeah, and I know Zach Carter's playing well. They've been talking a lot about him. You know, I know he's really, you know, looking to come back this, you know, this season, you know, his sixth year on campus to really make some big improvements over there. Let me see. Just fired off a text to somebody that covers a team. Jason Marshall had a pick six during the
scrimmage
as well.
Yep.
So shout out to him. Corey Collier is out for probably the next 4 to 6 weeks. He had a knee injury. And then Ethan Pouncey is likely going to sit out.
Yeah, I'm hearing here to miss on the special teams as well.
Yeah, I heard punters are struggling, and I know kickers are struggling. You know, UF does have Jace Christman coming this summer, you know, as a transfer, so I think that there's an opportunity for him to earn that starting spot. You know, Florida has had such a luxury at both kicker and punter over the last few years, you know, to not have a perennial, you know, All-American punter is going to be a definite change for the University of Florida.
Knox got to earn his check.
You know? Well, anyway, let's see.
I mean, the running back room is great, so we can't really like say too much. But
yeah, outside of that, I know that Garrick McGee, like I said, talked to the media the other day, had a lot of great quotes, talked about what attracted him so much to the University of Florida. Florida 2 years ago had a staffer named Ken Zampezi, who was a offensive analyst. And when he left to become, I believe it was the quarterback's coach with the Washington football team, him and Garrick McGee knew each other, and Garrick had just left. I think it was when he was at Louisville. I could be wrong, but he had just left his position and encouraged him to take a look at it. It was a defensive, you know, opportunity. I think we've talked about it on this show that Dan Mullen likes to hire his analysts for the opposite side of the ball for where they're traditionally have been. So last season, Garrick McGee was a defensive analyst on the staff, and he talked about learning under Todd Grantham and talked about learning defense and how that makes him a better, you know, quarterback coach and a better, you know, play caller when it comes to, you know, actually calling the plays as offensive coordinator. So I'm excited to see what you know comes of him. You know, he's a guy that, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, was what we considered a safe hire, but definitely a guy that,
right,
you know, had a lot of success. You know, you don't just become a head coach, whether it's at UAB or any other program, by just being average. You know, he's a hell of a guy. And, you know, like, you know, we talked about on the show, he's getting some rave reviews on the recruiting trail too. So excited to see what he's able to do with these guys.
Yeah, we was in a group chat when the hire first and name first came up, and I Googled his name because I don't know a lot about the guy. So I Googled his name, just be honest. I just seen he was black, and I just knew our recruiting was going to be still on par with Brian Johnson, just because that matters in the recruiting. I don't want to get into the you know, like the racial stuff, but like that matters on the recruiting trail. And to see that Dan Mullen was at least knew from being around that guy, he had the wherewithal to know that this guy could fill in for Brian. He knows football. He's coached Lamar Jackson, one of the guys that are the big time football players right now in the NFL. So he knew there was something there. I think it's a good hire. We gotta give him his flowers. When he make bad hires, we're gonna let him know. When he make good hires, we gotta let him know as well. So I think right now, Garrett on paper is a good hire.
Yeah, excited to see what he's able to do. Florida, I believe, only has one more week of spring practice before they wrap up, and I think they're gonna wrap up.
What are we doing spring
next Saturday?
Are we airing that at all?
No, sir.
I'm excited about that.
You can catch it on Instagram, I would imagine.
check your local listings on Instagram for the Florida scrimmage.
Yeah, I don't really care. I think most of the time it's scripted anyway. So we'll see what we got in the fall.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, boys, any more football talk on your mind?
Nah.
All right.
I'm all footballed out.
Well, let's shout out our friend Lee Friedland of the Law
Firm. This is Ahmad's segment right here. You ready? You ready, Ahmad? Yeah, you see, he took his mute off. He's muted this whole time. He's like,
what segment do you think's coming up?
Gymnastics.
No, sir. So Lee Friedland of the Law Firm of Friedland and Associates. He's going to help handle auto accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home cases, criminal matters, and personal injury cases in every jurisdiction within the state of Florida. Give him a call. UF undergrad and UF law degree. Great guy. Him and I are actually chatting tomorrow. Super excited to catch back up with him. 1-800-95-INJURED and yourfighthourbattle.com. Again, give Lee Friedland a call. 1-800-95-INJURED, yourfighthourbattle.com. The University of Florida men's basketball team competed in some basketball games since last week. They lost to Tennessee in the round of 8.
Yeah, I'm gonna sit this one out.
Yeah, and then,
too, bro.
Yep. No, that's fine. This is more of an announcement more than a segment of dialogue because we. We've said enough about Mike White on this podcast that he has turned down invitations. So the University of Florida was selected into the NCAA tournament. They will be a number 7 seed, and they will be hosting Virginia Tech at 12:15 on Friday. So it's the first matchup on Friday. University of Florida, number 7 seed. Trey Mann was announced that he's a first team All SEC player, and Colin Castleton has been named as a
shout out to Trey Mann. Trey Mann been hooping.
Yeah, he's good.
Oh, he's a bad man.
Pun intended. You know who's not been hooping? Mr. Scotty Lewis. But anyway, Florida.
Yeah, I mean, you got to develop the guys. You only get, when you bring the 5 stars in, you turn into Mark Rick. If you just want to get 5 stars for the recruiting trophies, then cool. But you got to get them here and you got to make them better players, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it made Trey Mann a better player, maybe. I don't know enough about basketball.
That's all for a debate.
So jaded. You know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I was like, I'm so, and this is like the worst feeling I have, apathetic about UF basketball. Like, I know they had some big wins this year, and that's great. And I'm going to cheer them on every game. But it got to a point where it's just, even when they win, it's not really all that enjoyable to watch. And then they lose some bad games. They just look disinterested. There's like a missing firepower to a point where I'm not even mad, you know, that we lost to Tennessee. I mean, it sucks, but I'm just more apathetic. And that's just not a position that you want to be as a fan. I think the fan base more than anything is apathetic because the discussions on all the message boards and everything else are like, yeah, like he's fine. Right. So, well, who do you get better? Right. It's like, oh, well, like Rick Pitino. It's like, no, Flores never going to hire Rick Pitino.
I don't care about who do you, it ain't my job to hire the next up and coming. Like, I'm not an AD, so I don't have a board of up and coming coaches that I may want to hire if I fire Mike White. So don't ask me that question. Who am I hire? My take is like I just want to talk about like Trey Mann, what he's doing, what he got going on. I don't want to get into my Mike White breakdown because my opinion is well known.
Yeah. Ahmad, your take on Mike White.
No, he can't do it.
Yeah, okay, that's right. We agreed.
It's in Ahmad's contract that he can't do Mike White.
I ain't doing that.
Oh, that's right. The last time you spoke about Mike White, you got slid into the DMs by the AD.
Yeah, Scott Strickland was in my DMs, bro. I ain't talking about
Mike White. Yo, it was Scott, then it was Chad. Listen, on your ass.
I don't even be tweeting again. When it's basketball game on, I don't even tweet no more, bro. I'll put up like emojis.
I watch the game and I don't tweet. Like I watch the game and I won't even tweet about it because I don't want to come off negative.
Want that, bro.
I hate the football fans that just tweet negative stuff all day, right? Yeah. So when I'm watching basketball game, like I got good negative tweets. I got some good stuff I can get off. Yeah. But I'm just like, no, I'm not gonna get it off because I don't wanna be that guy. I rather just not say anything to be that negative guy on the timeline all the time.
But bro, listen, bro. You always gonna get the people that's like, we have all our players. It's COVID. Or, like, bro, come on, bro. For 6 years, bro? Like, come on, dog.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're not going to do this, bro. Like, yeah. Well, give them time. Well, how much time you need? Like, then one dude was like, well, You know, you got to remember before Billy Donovan, we were,
man, bro, before Billy Donovan, bro, Billy Donovan came in like 95, bro, and we won two national championships since then. So we just supposed to automatically go back to what
Yeah, I hate that take because Florida is a completely different program.
Like, yeah, bro. Like, what are you even talking about?
Because they've put substantial money into the program, like not only just like national championships and everything else, but they've put substantial money into the program. They are a national brand. They are a team that was really good when a lot of these kids were growing up, right? Because like
back even to back.
Outside of the national championships, right?
Like even before that, competing. With Mike Miller them.
No, but well, for like, real though, I mean, how many programs?
How many nobody that's being recruited right now. My or Ahmad was watching basketball when Mike Miller played at the University.
No, I mean,
but listen, I'm just saying,
like Mike White's not landing guys just because he's an elite recruiter. He also is selling those back to back championships. Like he's selling what we've done in the last few years. So I think we can just do better. I think whenever a guy
if Alabama can do as well as they're doing right now, we can do it.
Right,
and better.
Dude, they ain't got no hardware. Like tighten up.
They already tried to compare them with us winning SEC in football and basketball. And we're like, hold on.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
We
no more Mike White. What you got next?
All right. It's almost time for Ahmad's favorite segment. But before we do that, we're going to give a shout out to our friend Carlton Black with Cardinal Financial. Flips. Licensed in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Virginia. Carlton and his team are going to offer all sorts of home loans, conventional loans, FHA loans, VA loans, fixed rate loans, adjustable rate mortgages, jumbo loans, and more. Give them a call, 404-769-5501, carlton.black@cardinalfinancial.com. 404-769, if you're in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Virginia, give him a call. If you're a real estate agent, give him a call. If you are in need of a construction loan, give him a call. If you just want to talk about the beautiful state of Georgia where he lives, give him a call, 404-769-5501. Ahmad, Gator News of the Week segment. You ready?
This is bad.
Let's hear it.
UF Women's Gymnastics did not compete since last week. They're still the reigning SEC champions. But
your take, Ahmad.
Yeah. Man. Your take on the bye week.
You got a bye week, man. You got to rest our bodies.
Yeah. Sure.
Did you hear about Trinity Thomas, though?
You had to rest your voice and everything else, too. Oh, I got some gymnastics news outside of them competing. But no, tell me about your Trinity Thomas news.
Yeah, so because my daughter came down crying. So apparently, when she was warming up, she came down wrong and hurt her ankle.
Oh no!
Right before the match started. So they didn't let her compete. So my daughter was all upset and whatnot, and you know, just distraught. But you know, if we're the number one team in the country, you know, the rifle drops, somebody picks your rifle up. So.
Well, speaking of great gymnastics performers on this team, Alyssa Bauman is one of six finalists for the annual AAI Award, which is given annually to the top senior collegiate gymnast. So,
ballin'.
Ballin' Bauman. Yeah, we're going to have to get her in touch with a copyright person to get that branded for her. So prayers up to Trinity Thomas. Hopefully her ankle gets better. And shout out to the women's gymnastics program that finished the season 8-0, 7-0 in conference. They start the SEC championship in 5 days. And shout out to them. Then NCAA regionals start on April 1st. Other Gator news of the week. Gators baseball goes 3-1 with a win over Stetson and then taking 2 out of 3 against Jacksonville. Kevin O'Sullivan with the win against Stetson became UF's winningest baseball coach in history with 557 wins. The men's golf team is going to skip the Tiger Invitational in Auburn because of some COVID protocol and is going to set sights on the Calusa Cup in April down in Naples. Gators lacrosse unfortunately took an L to Jacksonville, 12-11. They're 3-2 on the year. Gator soccer continues to struggle a bit in Becky Burley's final season, lost to LSU 2-1. Getting to some more exciting and better news here. Gators softball goes 3-1, beating Kennesaw State and Kentucky. They're 17-2 on the season. Men's tennis beat Mississippi State and Ole Miss. They're balling out right now. They're number 7 in the country. Took down 2 more wins. I have a feeling that they're going to move up, but I also don't know anything about tennis rankings, so take that with a grain of salt. Women's tennis beat Missouri and Arkansas. Yeah, indoor championships, UF men's finished 4th and the women finished 6th. Volleyball had 2 matches this week against Missouri and won both. They're 16-2 on the season. In other news, Marcus May got the franchise tag with the Jets, so he'll be there for another year. And then Jared Davis today announced that he is going to be signing with the Jets on a 1-year, $7 million contract. So shout out to those both Gator grads. And then Silk, your Jacksonville Jaguars seem to be struggling with free agents that want to move to the beautiful city of Jacksonville. So prayers up for you.
You just really want to be for Jacksonville, don't you?
Just making an announcement here. That's all.
Yeah. I don't think this is year. I think we got to figure out what we're going to do at quarterback. See what Trevor like, and then we spend money next year. That's my take.
Oh, that's your take. Okay.
Yeah. I got to spend it.
You have one of the largest free agent budgets of all time, and you're just going to let it go because you want to see how good Trevor is.
Just because you got it, I mean, you're supposed to spin it. We're about the Dolphins. What y'all got going on? Y'all trying to save? Y'all ain't making no moves.
We were 10-6 last season, and we're making.
Yeah, y'all trying to get Deshaun Watson though. We got other stuff going on.
I guess a Super Bowl chance could just be the referee.
Whatever, bro. Nobody talking to you.
Nobody mentioned anything about the Bucks on this here show.
You know what I'm saying? I apologize. I'm the ref.
y'all don't even like Tua.
No, we don't. I think he's okay. I would rather have Deshaun Watson, that's for sure. But give me Jamar Chase. Give me some interior offensive line help. We made a couple trades. We're getting a little bit better. But we're 10-6. We don't have to worry about it, you know?
You ain't got to, like, tell it to me. That looks like the plan.
Right? I'm not the general manager of the Miami.
You're not, but I'm just saying that looks like the plan.
Just a fan, you know? Yeah. Silk, let's get into a brunt read, and then I want to talk about Keewon Ratliff for a little bit.
Shout out to my man Greg at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services, man. We just switched the homeowners insurance over to Brunt Insurance. Great customer service. Give my man a call at 954-589-2204, and also be sure to visit bruntinsurance.com. Anything you need, my man Greg's gonna take care of you from the front of the deal to the end of the deal. Homeowners insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, renter's insurance, anything you need, 954-589-2204 or bruntinsurance.com.
Yeah, shout out to Greg. I've got a number of people that have policies with him through another one over to him the other day. So shout out to Greg. Greg's a good dude. His people are great over there. So big shout out to him. All right, guys.
Greg just bought. Never mind. Talk about it.
He just bought
a Bentley. You seen it on Facebook?
And he bought a Hyundai Genesis, which looks like the Bentley. That's okay. Tiger Woods drove it when he got in his accident. It saved his life, so it'll save Greg's life too.
You should just cover that Bentley. I was trying to sell Greg.
Yeah, it's a hybrid Bentley Hyundai Genesis hybrid. You know,
it's like the Chrysler 300, but a truck, right?
Yeah. All right, boys, I want to talk a little bit about Keewon Ratliff. So since March 3rd, so over the last 2 weeks, Keewon Ratliff has been wanting to have some fun on the timeline, talking about his top 5 quarterbacks, and I guess he goes through every position that he saw play. I want you guys to tell me if you guys disagree, and I'm just going to pick a couple. He
got
said
a safety,
that
you got
he,
the safety shit?
I do. I'm pulling it up right now.
Let's go.
All right, so
he ready?
Oh
no, I thought Dan was going to ask this question.
Oh, very good. He doesn't have safeties yet. He does not have safeties yet. So we'll talk about that whenever he does have safeties. So he mentioned at quarterback, top 5 quarterbacks in his mind are
that he's seen play.
Yeah, that he saw play. Rex Grossman, Tim Tebow, Danny Werfel, Chris Leak, and Shane Matthews. No Kyle Trask in there. Were you guys surprised?
I like it.
Are you surprised? No Kyle Trask.
But I mean, nah. Because when you really think about it, the guys that's he put up there,
dogs.
They are dogs, man. Like dudes that won SEC, like
Trask is a dog, but he may age. It's just so fresh, so it may age. But I don't know,
bro. Because how many SEC Shane Matthews on?
Put it
like this:
everybody, you're not moving Shane. You're not moving Shane.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was just going to ask.
That's what
you.
I'm saying. Like everybody on that list has won at least one SEC, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. See? I mean, you can't get rid of Rex Gross when Rex Gross should have won the Heisman Trophy.
Absolutely not.
Tim Tebow, obviously.
Rex should have won the Heisman.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, bro.
So
you almost got three Heisman Trophy quarterbacks.
Rex was definitely robbed.
Yeah, Rex was robbed. Let's see. Other position groups that have some interesting takes on them. Running back room. I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are here. Fred Taylor, Emmitt Smith, Eric Rett, Siatric Faison, and Mike Gillisley.
That's my order. Any of those
names surprise you?
That's my order.
I don't know about Gillisley, though, bro.
I would like Rainey over maybe one of those scat backs over Gillisley. Yeah, or maybe
because nothing against Gillisley. Gillisley was he's a dog. We talked about he's a dog. But besides 2012, it wasn't really a Gillisley.
He should have just gave him the ball more because he got busy. That year, he really got busy.
Remember, he was injury, bro. He kept getting his hamstring hurt. You see what I'm saying?
Nah, they just kept going scat back until Muschamp got
injured,
there.
Bro. He was hurt. He kept – because he pulled – I'm going to tell you when he pulled it. He broke against Georgia, bro, up the side against Georgia. Yeah. One of them times he pulled it, and he couldn't never get it right. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So who you got over Gilly in that spot?
I would potentially have Chris Rainey. I think LaMichael Pirine probably had a better, you know.
I like Rainey over like Pirine, bro. Yeah, yeah. I like Rainey over P.
Yeah.
Rain man, me.
It's just Rainey could do so much, bro. Like, you could put him anywhere. You can put him at wide receiver.
He's electric.
Yeah, bro. And he's going to get there, so.
I'm not mad at Gilly. I'm not mad at Rat's top five, but if I could sub Gilly out for a couple other guys. But other than that, I like what he.
Yeah.
Now is he putting these in an order, or he's just throwing them out there?
Nah, he's just throwing them out there. No particular order. He said.
All right, because I like the order of Fred at one. Let me just throw that out there.
Yeah, but that's gonna be off the dribble. Because
not for everybody.
I'm off the dribble for me. You can tell me Emmitt Smith. You can whatever. Fred Timmy. So,
Dan, where you at with it?
No, I think that I think.
Don't be scared.
I think that there's a couple people. No, Mike Gillisley would be the only one, and I think that he was an underrated guy. I do think, in my opinion, was a little bit better. I thought that Ernest Graham, was probably a bit better. But certainly, they have a different eye than I do. You know, Robert Gillespie had, had some time.
You put Gilly ahead of Deshaun Wynn too?
Wynn ain't really. Wynn
yeah,
ain't really,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wynn was there at a great time. But yeah, I mean, well, Wynn was really good. Don't get me wrong. But I think that he's also a product of, just some really serviceable, offensive lines and some other weapons.
Yeah,
that,
bro.
Kept some of the attention off of him.
Hmm.
But let's see. Other things that he mentioned. Let me go back. Top five offensive utility players. He has Chris Rainey in here. He has Percy Harvin, Kadarius Toney, Chris Rainey, Trey Burton, and Jeff Demps.
Utility players.
I think that was his catch-all for everybody that's not a, I don't think he's done wide receivers. He isn't positions. I want to debate. Oh, here he has wide receivers. Okay, we'll do that next. All right. So anybody that you think that Florida's missing,
besides utility Percy Harvin, players. Who could I be missing? A utility players? Because I feel like I missed. What's my name? Elijah Williams.
Oh yeah.
He played DB and running back, right?
Yeah.
He's got to be thrown in that mix. I'm trying to think utility players that we could possibly be missing.
You got fear for.
Yeah, I think he's talking about just offensive
utility. Okay.
Yeah, not just like special teams and everything else. I think that's a pretty good list. And then wide receivers, Jabbar Gaffney, Ike Hilliard, Riedel Anthony, Jacquez Green, and Chris Doering. Funny that four of those guys played on the same team at one point, but
hold on. He didn't say Percy.
He had Percy under that utility player.
Because you know everybody was
that's safe.
Yeah. Oh, he.
Rat, you ain't slick.
Rat needs to stand in the paint a little bit harder.
Yeah, that's slick. Put Percy in the utility spot.
So Jabbar, Ike, Riedel, Jacquez, and Chris Doering.
Hmm.
I mean, that's tough. I mean, it's tough to replace. You've got some people.
All right. I'd rather have no disrespect to Doring. He's great. Okay. That's my man. Give me Bubba Cole.
You be respectful. You take
Bubba Cole.
I'm a Bubba fan. My pop's a big Bubba fan, man.
Bubba Caldwell.
That's a tough one.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You talking about consistent.
Mm-hmm. Bubba.
Reliable.
Bubba.
Yeah.
Bubba.
Yeah, both Caldwells were fucking
was stamps, bro.
Right. Them boys. Them boys was stamps. Like when you hear,
can you use that?
Yeah, bro.
For sure. Shout out to
some lingo, Dan. Them boys were stamps out there.
Stamp. That means you official. You ain't got to check in when you go into that hood, Dan.
Yeah, you stepped in, Dan. You ain't gotta ask about nothing, Dan. You just pull up.
Big step.
Yeah, there you go.
I really like that phrase. I'm going to use that tomorrow. I'll let you know how it goes.
All right,
but Stamper's the new stepper.
Okay. I wrote down some names. I had Andre Caldwell. I had Jack Jackson. I had Dallas Baker. I had Willie Jackson. He's not a guy that I got to watch play much as young. Taylor Jacobs. But there's a lot of names, you know, on that
Chad
list.
Jackson.
Yeah, it got Chad Jackson. It was good. Shout out to him. He just a couple months ago just got a certification to.
You forgot the Gaffney. Oh yeah, Gaffney's on the list. Yeah, all Gaffney's on that list. Yeah, that's another name. Caldwell's and the Gaffneys.
Gaffney.
Gator names.
Yeah.
Culpeppers. Brantley's.
You know, I thought if he would have, you know, stayed out of some of the injury room, I thought that, you know, Antonio Callaway could have been that guy. You just have a lot of names, you know, and obviously
he might be up there.
Utility players. He might have
not utility, wide receiver. Like he may be up there.
Because well, listen, he's the only person that scored five touchdowns different ways, bro.
Yeah.
The only person I think. He threw a touchdown. He ran one. He caught one. He ran a kickoff back.
Quez,
and a punt return.
Now, Quez did all that. I think Quez got the most touchdowns.
Quez never threw one.
Yeah, he did.
Which one?
Quez threw one, right?
Ahmad wants you to name game. The play.
Quez scored a touchdown like three different ways. He ran one. He caught one. He threw one. All in the game. That's a fact.
All right. What about his kick return and punt return? I know he ran punt return back. So did he ever run the kickback?
In the same game that he threw in,
in the career.
Yeah, he's returned a punt in his career for sure.
No, I know punt, but I don't know about kickoff.
No, I don't know about kickoff. Don't give me the line. Five, let me know. I know you listen to the show. Five, let me know. I don't know.
Yeah, five.
We're gonna have to ask him and see what he say.
All right. Top five Gator defensive ends. Again, just picking random ones here. Kevin Carter, Alex Brown, Carlos Dunlap, Derek Harvey, and Dante Fowler Jr.
What curse at?
I don't know if he might have put him at linebacker. I don't think he's done linebacker yet. I think Kirst could have been on there. I think
some list him as an offensive. I mean, outside linebacker, but I mean, he put his hand in the dirt.
I think Jarvis Moss could have been, you know, on that list. I'm trying to think of
who else. He must have got Kirst at outside linebacker.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at it. If that's the case, I ain't mad at it.
Yeah, it's not a bad list. Trying to go through. I see if I can find anybody else here that we forgot about. I think that's a good list. I think that's a good list overall. Ja'Kai Polite. Did I mention Alex Brown? Yeah, okay. Yeah,
Polite is up there.
Yeah, like, Polite was good. Polite was good.
Historically good though, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is tied for fifth right. in a single season for most sacks in a season. He had 11.
Right. So, he's up there.
And that's just two behind Alex Brown, who has the record for 13 in
1999. Mm-hmm. That was a crazy year as well. Shout out to Alex Brown. That was a crazy year to watch. He came a little while out of the curse, so we was getting a good little spill of DNs at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was incredible. And then we're still waiting on him to do some DBs and some safeties. I'm waiting to see if he puts himself in the top five, you know?
I'm ready to see if he leaves it. I know you listened to the last show, but we've been talking about it behind the scenes, and we want to see where he puts you at on this list.
Listen, bro.
I know you're watching. Tell the truth.
My putting me on the list. I know I'm top five, bro. I'm not even worried about that.
If he leave what, you off, what you gonna do? I'm just saying.
Yeah,
if he leave
you off, the cornerback, the cornerback room is what's gonna be tricky.
No, let's get back to the safety room. If he leave you off, what you gonna do?
It can't. I mean, that's his opinion. But you can't even name probably two who better than me.
I did. I said on the show how I feel where you at. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, if Rat leave you off, do we not invite him to the picnics?
Nah, that's my man. That's always gonna be my man. But you know, that's his opinion. It's just real hard to name five other people that's better than me that came through here.
Who would you put as your top four safeties besides yourself? Obviously,
Reggie Nelson for sure.
Yep.
That I've seen play. So I know we say Lewis Oliver, but I've never seen him play before.
Hey, Lewis, a dog. As a guy that grew up from Belgrade and idolized Lewis was everything they said he was.
So I love Reggie Nelson, right? Yep. I love Matt Elam.
Mm-hmm.
5'6".
I love Mage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to show you another one that a lot of people don't know about, Todd Johnson.
Ooh, Todd Johnson.
Ooh.
Go look at the stats. Stats don't lie to you. I lied to you, and the girl will lie to you.
I said, well, because who you left out?
Tell me.
I ain't, don't get me started.
Just tell me. Because
Lawrence Wright, you left out an obvious name. Yeah.
You know?
Him and Jarvis Williams, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. If I got to go five,
then Lawrence. But I gave you four.
I ain't gonna leave you out for Lawrence. That's how you feeling?
No, I said we're not naming me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard some good things about him. I think, Ahmad, that you'll probably be in the top five.
I mean,
I'm willing to bet.
Hey, man, the proof, give my dog his flowers. The proof's in the pudding. I love you, my I'm gonna go ahead and tell him. I'm sorry, beep that out again. Get your beep on, Cam. But Ahmad deserve top five. He's top five. I'm a Gator fan. That's my boy and all, but if just being unbiased as a per Gator purist, Ahmad's top five safety for sure.
And then, do you guys want to discuss kicking and punting, or are you guys fine?
No, I'm good. I'm cool. We'll bring Nick on and do that next week.
Yeah, all right, very good. Very good.
If you really want to talk about something, talk about top three. But anyway.
Oh yeah. Hey. I don't want to get too boastful for you. You know what I'm saying? This you gotta sell yourself.
But
to
you know, I don't want to do all that because you know
top three.
We ain't talking about that. Yeah,
they're gonna let you know. They'll let you know if you
lying. Let me know. But nonetheless, I'm just blessed to be on the list, to be honest, bro.
I've got a question for you guys, a hip hop question. Is Plies a Gator fan now? Now that Willie's gone?
Yeah.
What?
Plies is tweeting about CJ Hawkins.
Yeah. He's hyping him up big time. It's safe to tweet about Gator players that are committing out of the Tampa area right now.
Yeah. Very good. Well, that's what I got, guys. That's our show. So we got to give our friends at Manscaped and ad read. Big shout out to them for re-upping.
I'm actually wearing my Manscaped shirt right now.
Oh.
Nice. I got bleach on my shirt. I got a new shirt.
Nah, bro. Like, so on the back it says Manscaped, your balls will thank you. So like, I forget it says that shit. So like, when I go to the grocery store, bro. Yeah, bro. I'm like sitting in Walmart one day, and I look down. I said, "Oh shit, bro!" Like,
you gotta get a Spencer's shirt that says Big Meat.
I can't wear that, bro. My daughter would be looking at me like that.
Right, where the Publix and watch the meat lady.
We'll get you a shirt made and sent, or get you a shirt and sent over to you.
Shout out to manscaped.com, the best of the best when it comes to man's grooming. B be sure to visit manscaped.com. Buy the Lawnmower 3.0. Shower proof, snag proof, not cutting anything. They got the weed whacker for your ears, like all that weed hair, the weed footage.
All your weed hair, yeah.
Foliage, all your weeds, you know, in the nose, in the nostrils, or the ears. The weed whacker, get that out of there. Use coupon code SG at checkout for 20% off, free shipping. Manscaped.com, best of the best in men's grooming.
So I'm on their website right now. They have shopping? No, I mean, just looking around, you know, putting some things in the basket for when I want to buy. So they have something called the crop mop, which is for your balls, your butt, and your body wipes.
Yo.
So it's with cooling aloe vera gel.
I'm gonna let you try the butt shit first.
The dude wipes.
Not the dude wipes. You said something else.
No, this is for your balls, your butts, and your body. They're wipes.
Your butts. Yeah.
I'm gonna try. You got
two butts.
Just, I only have one butt. Right. I only have one butt.
Your butts.
Your butts. Oh, jeez. You guys are wild.
No, you're wild.
I got more than one butt, bro.
It's a wild party.
Get out of here. You guys gotta get out of here. This show went off the rails a while ago.
That's insane. So shout out to Manscaped, man.
Best of the best.
When it comes to grooming the butts. Hey, let me know when you get the butts care. Hey, let me know how that works off for
you. Yeah, let me know. They'll have to send a double order, right?
Yeah.
That's funny, bro.
You. Let me know. If it works out for you, then send me mine.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. I'll let you know how my butts are doing.
Out of control, bro.
Oh, my gosh. So I think you have the song of the week, my friend.
Do I? I'm going to keep it chill. Last time I was wilding out a little bit.
All right, people going to be at you in the DMs.
That's your music.
Hey, bro, I ain't even gonna cap, bro. I came on the radio the other day, and I was like, bro, this song wild, bro. I never actually listened to it to the end, so I'm like,
well,
you know, when people listen to the show, they probably hear the music, and then they turn it off. Like, bro, they really listen to the songs. So I'm like, this is all the way through, bro.
Yeah, shout out to the people that slid into my DMs that say they now listen to Crawford and Power because of this show. You're welcome.
Yeah,
it may have been just once this week.
Shout out to the people that hit my DMs too. Was like, yo, what is Ahmad playing? He's wilding.
I was wilding that week.
That one week.
Hey, let me get some. I'm gonna get some soulful stuff. Let me get some the staple singers. Let's do it again. Some vibes, man. Okay, you know, okay. I got to keep with my aunt's uncles this weekend. So some vibes. Okay. Yeah,
I'm here for all that. Well, same time, same corner next week, boys.
You know the vibes.
Yeah, we got Jordan Harold coming on next week. He's the head of the graphics department at UF and all that. So it'll be a fun conversation to have with him next
Let's
week.
Let's go.
Boys, peace. See you next week.
Peace. Just getting good.
Let's get good love. Just a man now, don't you fear? I can love you now, don't you hear? Do it again.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.